Hi, I'm Ray Zod.
And I'm Connor L.
And we do a Superman podcast.
Called The Last Sons of Krypton. And you are listening to the DCAU podcast.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Justice League versus Teen Titans.
Another one with my boy in.
Yeah, but not as much as Bills I was expecting.
No, but you know, it's alright because Damien makes up for it. I love Damien as well, so.
Yeah, so Justice League versus Teen Titans is the 7th DCAMU film. So we're kind of going through those very quickly.
Yeah.
It's directed by Sam Liu, he's directed a lot of these films before, and he becomes their kind of go-to director from this point onwards.
Okay, cool. So we'll see a lot of him.
And yeah, it keeps the same style as the rest of the DCMU films. Keeps broadly the same cast. Jerry O'Connell had started to become Superman before this film. So it's Jason O'Mara, Jerry O'Connell, Rosario Dawson, Christopher Gorman, and Shemar Moore playing the same characters. Stuart Allen's back as Robin, Sean Mayer's back as Dick Grayson Nightwing, and yeah, we've got a few new characters appearing. Well, new to this universe, we've seen them before, but yeah, so this film I actually enjoyed a lot more than I expected to. I've been pleasantly surprised by the DCMU.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a lot of fun.
I mean, it's the art style still is very bland, but the actual plots are being
It was a decent film. It's just like, you know, it's just like, it's an animated film with a plot that made vague sense internally, that had to introduce a lot of characters, and I found it watchable, likeable, it concluded, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, we're not talking like high art, Shakespeare, but it was fun.
Absolutely. So we open up with the Justice League fighting the Legion of Doom, which was kind of hinted at the end of the last Justice League film, and yeah, so it's Solomon Grundy, Lex Luthor, Weller Wizard, Cheetah, and Toymaster.
Yeah, it's a nice mix of ones that I'm not used to seeing a lot of. So yep.
I think they're all villains associated with the specific hero as well.
Yeah.
So it's it's a nice opening scene, good fights. One thing that is kind of brought up very early on is Robin is there as effectively crowd control, which he is not thrilled to be.
Yeah, bless him, but he's still getting used to his position.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice to then see him thrown against with people his own age or near his own age.
He does seem to have taken a step backwards from the last two Batman films.
I assumed it was just because, like I said, we're used to just seeing him either with Bruce or Dick.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Alfred, whatever. But like, just in that very, so like, I wonder if it's like getting him out of a little bit of his comfort zone. And then he puts on the brusque mask again.
Yeah. I mean, he's very much Bruce Wayne's child in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Both in the positive and negative terms of that that description. So the villains are fairly easily defeated. I'm glad to see that they at least paid off the kind of setup with Lex Luthor attacking Superman,
mm-hmm.
even if they didn't do, like, we've seen enough times a Legion of Doom style film.
Yeah, yeah, but it was interesting, and I just like the whole also like not having Superman around a lot was kind of cool.
Yeah, so we then have one of the villains, Well-A-Wizard, gets away, and then steps into a shadow and is possessed.
Yeah.
Because the main villain of this film is actually Trigon.
Trigon, yeah. What a surprise.
Oh, we're introducing Raven. We might as well introduce her dad.
I mean, yeah. Look, it worked for me with the TV show, so.
So it's John Bernthal is voicing Trigon in this film.
It's cool. He's not in it much, but
he does get top billing though. Like on the actual.
He gets to talk a lot.
Yeah. So the possessed Weather Wizard then is able to fairly easily hold the Justice League in a fight.
Yeah.
And
that was quite surprising. Quite like that.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose particularly the fact he's a magical character, would make sense he can hold his own against Superman in particular. And Robin ends up weakening Well-A-Wizard by flying the Batmobile into him.
Yeah, which is great. He's thinking outside the box.
Unfortunately, because he's defied Batman, Batman is not impressed.
Batman is very often not impressed.
And I love how, look, three or four times now, this has actually become a theme with the DCMU. That's about the third time that the criticism that Batman has had is, no, we can't interrogate him now.
Yeah. He likes interrogating people, what can you say?
But, I mean, it's happened more than once. That's... Anyway, so because Damian cannot be trusted to play nice with others, he's going to have to play nice with others. I mean, he could have been sent off to boarding school in Switzerland, but instead, Batman goes, no, I'll send you to play with the Teen Titans.
Yeah, why not?
So, I thought at first that Dick Grayson was going to be a big part of this film.
I thought because you hear Teen Titans and you think that, like, but it's not, the focus isn't really on him. He's already kind of aging out of that, the Teen Titans.
And I do love...
It's more introducing Damian into them, I guess.
I do love that we just get a little glimpse again of Damian and Dick Grayson's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the Teen Titan lineup in this particular film is Blue Beetle, Jaime Reyes, Raven and Beast Boy, with Starfire being a bit older and actually being the leader of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, kind of my only exposure to the team before this point was the Teen Titans TV series and Teen Titans Go, where obviously... Starfire's played as very naive.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually an interesting change of dynamic to actually have her and Damian her and Dick Grayson kind of be the more experienced team members.
Yeah, yeah. I quite like that. It was because that's a role we've not really seen him in much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be fair, I don't know the Titans all that well. I've only watched a few sort of other things that they've been in, but they all seemed like familiar enough to me. Yeah. So that was quite nice.
I think this is the first time we've seen Blue Beetle in anything, actually.
Yeah, it's definitely, well, yeah, it definitely is. But like, so that was kind of nice because I know he's in them. I've just not seen him much in these things. I've seen him in some cartoon before, like Young Justice, maybe. But I've not seen all of it, so.
So, it's a character that seems to be getting a lot more attention. He's showing up in a lot more things.
Well, he's getting a film, isn't he? So.
Yeah. Also, it's One thing I did find slightly strange is they have the Blue Beetle on his back. When it lights up with four red lights that looks a lot like Triton's eye.
Yeah, they did a little bit. They did a little bit, but yeah.
I mean, it turns out that something else is linked to Trigon that we didn't know, but meanwhile, Superman is possessed whilst talking to Diana. So, unsurprisingly, Damian does not play with others, including hogging the combat simulator.
He's great. He just wants to fight.
And he ends up fighting Blue Beetle.
He has quite a competitive streak with Blue Beetle.
Yeah. And Damian Wayne actually wins at first, and then the Blue Beetle itself basically hits him with a kill shot
a bit
to the face. To the point where it was actually... So Raven ends up having to heal Robin. And she gets several flashes of Damien's past and then passes out.
Yes, because of course she can sort of read his mind.
Yep. We then go back to the Justice... So we're kind of cut in between the Justice League and the Teen Titans throughout this film. Cyborg tries to offer Batman pizza. Which... I mean, full credit for bravery.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good pizza.
And Batman thinks that the shadow that possessed Dweller Wizard wasn't there for him, it was there for someone else. I wonder who, considering he possessed...
I wonder who.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Wonder Woman does not understand movies where women are damsels in distress, which...
is a good thing.
It's a good thing. She's obviously not watched many DC movies.
Or any movies, but yes, specifically DC ones, yeah.
And Superman starts acting really strange.
Yeah, really odd, which is funny.
Just one issue that I did have with this film. It happened in the opening scene, because we've got Weather Wizard and Wonder Woman. I often abbreviate names when I'm typing them up. So I keep on having BB and I go, now do I mean Beast Boy or do I mean Blue Beetle?
Oh man, you're going to have to think of a different system. You have to have like different abbreviations for them. Like Gar is not too bad for Beast Boy.
Yeah.
You could do that. The others, I don't know. I don't really care so much about Wonder Woman and Weather Wizard. But yes,
yeah.
I like Beast Boy, so.
So, Damien...
apologies to fans of Weather Wizard. You know.
I'm sure we will get a single email about this. So, we then have Damien and Raven talk. Raven's basically going, don't talk to me, I've looked into your head, go away. And yeah, the second that they were doing this, was like, oh, okay, they are doing the rivals to Hila friends or something. I mean, yeah, more.
Damien can only do rivals to whatever, so
yeah. So Damien then does effectively the "if you were offended, I'm sorry" apology.
Yeah,
I mean it's
an apology.
It's an attempt at an apology.
Yeah,
which, to be fair,
he's a kid. Like, can we stop like criticizing kids too much?
Absolutely. Someone who's not a kid is man, who is headbutting. I can't tell if he's went to like an underground quarry.
It does look like it, doesn't it?
Or if the implication is that he's been bashing his head so long, he's made a pit. And then he decides to make a pit with Atomic Skull instead.
Because, you know... That's what he has to hand.
I mean, I do like the idea that Batman and Wonder Woman immediately realise something's wrong when Superman is hitting properly. And, of course, Batman has kryptonite.
Of course. I mean, we all know. How many times have we seen this in how many different ways? Like, it's just that's one of the things.
So... Batman immediately realizes that the Justice League are being pursued and almost kind of assumes, oh, we're all going to get possessed, so we should go into hiding.
I mean, it's an idea. I mean, it's a decent idea, but, like, they're supposed to be out protecting other people.
Yeah.
But I guess you don't want the bad guy to get control of your power, so it does make sense.
And we see that Batman has definitely prepared a contingency if someone tries to possess him.
Yes.
Which we'll get to. But it is just absolutely... the second he did what he did, I was like, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
And also, I actually find myself agreeing with Damien at the next scene, which is he's hacked onto Starfire's laptop, which is rude.
Yeah.
But he basically goes, you know, you should really find out more information on her.
Which is true.
I mean, it is one of these things where I think the way the scene's meant to be portrayed, you're meant to go, oh, he's being very paranoid and very Batman-like, but there's a reason why it's... At the end of the day, he's peak human ability, but he's surrounded by someone who can apparently not only change into any animal, but change weight with it.
Yeah, which is cool.
Blue Beetle, who's already almost blew his head off. And whatever powers Raven has, which apparently they're not quite sure of, so... I do actually see his point.
Yeah, no, definitely. He definitely has a point. I mean, that's one of the things about Damien. He might be gruff and everything, but he has a point usually. He's not an idiot.
Mm-hmm. And Starfire has a chat with Dick Grayson about Damien. I hope you enjoyed this because it's the last you saw a Nightwing.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, it was good.
And Dick Grayson mentions, why don't we have some fun? And Starfire goes, oh, that's right. Maybe that's what we should do to get Damien to relax. We should take him to a carnival.
Yeah, which is funny.
So, meanwhile, we go back to the Justice League. Batman and Cyberman are examining footage of Superman. We then see that Superman is pulling a giant ring out of the ground. So, we get a nice scene at the carnival where Starfire goes with the Titans. It's a lovely little montage, and it's nice seeing just people having fun in these films.
Yeah, exactly, and they really do have fun.
Damien wins a toy sword and gives it to a girl.
So sweet.
Which is, it's really nice. And then Raven basically says, yeah, when I saw into your mind, I also saw that you have a really good soul. Which was lovely.
Yeah.
And the kind of end of this kind of montage scene is Damien getting into a dance-off with Beast Boy.
That lasts a while.
Yeah, it lasts a while, and it looks like Damien wins basically by sheer stamina.
Yeah.
Whilst that's happening,
it's kind of, yeah, I mean, I just figured he was either learned, because he says he learns fast, so, but yeah, he definitely has the stamina to keep going with it.
Well, that they established, oh, he can practice fighting for an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So, whilst this is happening, Raven gets called away from the carnival, where she is visited by the spirits of minions of Trigon.
Yeah.
And Trigon appears and a fight breaks out, which then breaks into the carnival whilst the dance-off is finishing. And we get a Teen Titans suiting up scene that's very Power Rangers.
Yeah, but it's good. I liked it.
Oh, it's good fun, but it's just that, again, considering the kind of tone that the DCMU's gone for, it's quite strange.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. But I guess it gives that sense of this is a different team and you don't quite know how they do things.
Yeah. So Robin, meanwhile, has to actually break into the car because he's left his sword there. And I do love the fact that Damien stabs one of the minions in the head and goes, these guys aren't human, right? I didn't just kill someone, did I?
I mean, you stab first and ask later.
But, yeah, so the fight doesn't last too long. But Raven ends up getting a Trigon-like appearance right at the end of the fight. She's obviously quite upset, and she decides to then... We then get her backstory.
Yeah.
Which, as far as I'm aware, is fairly accurate to the comic books.
Seems it. I mean, seems it from what other people have told me of her backstory. I don't know it either, so...
Yeah. So, it's established, essentially, that Raven is a conduit to get Trigon onto Earth so he can take over it.
Yeah, basically.
And Raven decides the best thing that she can do is run away. And Damien is the one that actually tries to convince her to stay and goes, well, the best thing to actually do would have us at your back.
And it's sweet, practical, and right.
And I do love that it took going to a carnival to turn Damien into going from, oh, I don't want to talk or work with any of you, to, no, I'm going to actively try and keep this team together.
Yeah.
So Flash, Batman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg arrive, wanting to take Raven into protective custody of some kind.
Yeah, I think so. And they like, no, we'll look after her.
And it turns out that was I keep on putting Triton. This is why I was really playing too much D&D. I mix words together.
Mm.
And it turns out, yes, that was Trigon's plan all along. And he then goes and possesses Wonder Woman, The Flash, Cyborg, and Batman. Batman immediately injects himself with nerve toxin to knock himself out.
Batman just cannot wait to do it. He's like, no, give me it right now. Give me the nerve toxin.
Absolutely. I mean, at least he doesn't hesitate to put himself in harm's way.
No. I mean, he's just so keen. It's like, he's really ready for it.
Mm-hmm. So the Titans try to fight against Wonder Woman, Flash, and Cyborg. They get very easily defeated.
Yeah.
And Raven agrees to go to the shrine as long as they let the Titans live.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they teleport. So, just as they go to teleport to the shrine, Cyborg gets knocked out by...
Blue Beetle.
By Blue Beetle. And... Yeah, we then cut to a giant purple thing. I mean, this might actually be the first sky beam in a while.
Yeah, we haven't had a sky beam for a while.
And I mean, at least it's not blue.
No, it's a shade of
purple.
Kind of blue.
Cyborg wakes up in Titan Tower. Robin knows where Raven is because he put it again. Because he's Bruce Wayne's son, he put a tracker on everyone
exactly.
in 30
seconds. He's an arse and he decided to track them all. He's like, hi, you're now my friends, I'm going to track you. Just in case anything bad happens. Just in case
you're roped into creating a portal to bring a demon into the world.
Who knows?
So... The team come to the plan of, right, we're going to have to save Raven. How are we going to take out Superman? And Robin's like, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I do love the fact that the team is actually surprised that Robin doesn't even think about, oh, no, I've got Superman covered, it's fine.
Yeah. He's like, got it sorted.
And to be fair, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Because it takes all of 30 seconds for Damien to stab Superman with kryptonite.
Yeah.
Superman then deals with the Flash. And then deals with Wonder Woman using the Lasso of Truth. Oh, also, they're still going down the line of this Superman-Wonder Woman romance.
Yeah, but, you know, I know some people hate it. I don't like it when it actually happens. I don't mind flirty suggestions of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just put, like, Superman should be with Lois. I'm sorry. That's the end of it.
Well, that's the thing, because I'm fairly sure...
And I don't care about Wonder Woman, generally.
So. The next film to feature Superman quite heavily, he is in a relationship with Lois.
Yeah. You can still be flirty with co-workers, as long as nothing comes of it.
Yeah. But, so... So what then happens is that the portal opens, Trigon enters the world.
Yeah.
And... We cut between the Titans go into Trigon's realm to get the crystal that Trigon was trapped in previously.
Yeah.
Whilst you intercut with various moments of the Flash, Superman, and Wonder Woman trying to hurt Trigon.
Yeah. They give it a go. No, not going to happen. They're out of their league.
I do like that fact that they've built up Trigon. I mean that in itself is all you need to do to build that character up.
It absolutely is. It immediately sets it as like, I mean, he defeats him with no real problem.
Mm-hmm. And because I know he does have a major part in one of the other DCAMU films after this. I can't remember which one, but he does appear again. Not voiced by John Bernthal. I think it's John DiMaggio that voices him in that version, but the Duke kind of, when he turns up, he's a big deal. So meanwhile, Raven and the Titans are attacked by a load of demons. Beast Boy at first seems to be weakened quite badly, and then it turns out he's just getting introduced to new beast forms because he's in a different realm.
Yeah.
So Beast Boy,
which is quite funny.
Beast Boy can now become demons, which is awesome. Raven heads up to get the crystal. She's obviously toiling whilst getting there. And just as she gets the crystal, Ra's al Ghul shows up and shatters it.
Yeah. He's such a hooligan. Love him.
Because it turns out that Ra's al Ghul is actually a servant of Trigon, because Trigon created Lazarus Pits.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to offer Damien...
He wants to eat Trigon. Or something. He wants to take all his power.
And he wants Damien to help him do it, but first he has to kill Raven.
Yeah, that's all Damien needs to do to help.
And unfortunately, you're going... Yes, grandson, bring me back by killing the first female person that's shown any interest in you whatsoever.
Yeah.
And no, Damien decides to fight his grandfather instead. So yeah. We get a...
Friends over family.
Yep. So as Raven starts to use a shard of the crystal to trap Trigon again... We get a really awesome bit where Trigon, while simultaneously dismissing the Justice League, just spending the whole time taunting Raven.
Yeah, which is funny.
Raven is able to trap Trigon fairly... Well, it takes a lot out of her, but it's quite quick once she actually does it. So she's trapped him in a tiny little fragment of crystal. And she then says, right, I need to stay behind and make sure that he doesn't escape this crystal. Damien is once again able to convince Raven to stay with the Titans.
Yes, oh, bless him. It was quite a good little speech. It was like, you can see how he's got a bit of Bruce in him. A bit of a motivating speech, but not quite as grumpy as normal.
So... The Justice League then thank the Titans at the end of the film, and Raven is wearing the shard as...
Yeah, just in her forehead. Like,
in her forehead, yeah.
As we see her most of, yeah.
In most of her appearances.
Yeah.
And there is a post-credit scene where someone is flying on top of a chunk of rock heading towards Titan Tower.
I missed that. Sorry.
It's fine, as I said.
I apologise, everyone. Didn't watch all the credits.
I know that most
will
of these
from
films,
now on.
I know that these films have post-credit scenes and that they just don't really do much a lot with them. Half the time, they don't even seem to tie into anything.
Okay, I mean, that's kind of good for me because often I'm watching... I mean, today, this week, I particularly had a tight deadline to get it watched, as yeah. You know. So I was just glad to get it watched. But yeah, no, I will try and pay more attention.
So that was Justice League versus Teen Titans, and that is our first film of 2022.
Nice. I quite enjoyed it. I would recommend this one as a... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty basic, but all of it was good.
Oh, yeah. I did enjoy it. I can kind of see... Because I know the kind of reviews of it were a bit mixed, basically along lines of it's very basic and simplistic, but that's all you really need.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's the last DCAMU film we'll have for a wee while. The next one of those that will be coming up is Justice League Dark.
Oh, God, that is a while away.
That is 6 episodes away. Hello?
Yeah, that's quite... I mean, it's a fair way away.
Yep. And that's going to be introducing a lot of characters.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I'm looking forward to it anyway. Anything that's called Justice League Dark sounds fun.
Yep. Before that, however, we have got, as I said, five films before that. The next one coming up is Batman the Killing Joke.
Oh, is that our next one?
That's our next
one. Cannot wait.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a lot to say. We're just not going to say, so that was a film.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, that's not going to be one we dismiss as a bit generic.
Maybe it will.
Maybe it will. Who knows?
Generic of a certain type of film.
So, there is... The rest of the films are all a bit... Something a bit different. So we've got three separate kind of offshoot franchises continuing, which is... After the Killing Joke, we have DC Superhero Girls back with Hero of the Year.
Ooh.
We have the last Batman Unlimited film, which is Mech vs. Mutants. So expect lots of potential toys.
Yeah, it was going to be fun.
We've got another Lego DC comic book film with Gotham City Breakout. And then we've got Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders, which is a continuation of the 1960s Batman series.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So that's all that we've got coming up. And as I said, the sixth movie in that list is Justice League Dark. Actually, the next movie... I know I'm kind of going really deep into this. The next movie after that... Is the Lego Batman movie.
Oh my god, I cannot wait. That makes the Killing Joke mate all worthwhile.
So yeah, that's for all. That's the next seven films that are coming up. If you've not got any views on any of those films yet, seriously, you should check them out. Certainly, Lego Batman movie, I'm certainly looking forward to covering.
I am really looking forward to it. I can tell you all my fun stories about how I accidentally became friends with one of the people who did the music.
Oh, okay. The only thing I remember about that film is going into it and realising I was not the only person there accompanied by a child.
Oh, I went on my own. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Batman's for everyone. Lego's for everyone. Batman Lego's for everyone.
Absolutely. But before that, we have The Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Which is for no
one. Keep reminding me about Lego Batman. It's like, don't worry, Lego Batman.
Yeah, so... Ooh. Excellent. Well, so you can hear our dulcet tones elsewhere. So I am still on the Rise of the Robots podcast, where we'll still, at the time that this comes out, we'll still be covering BattleBots Season 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you said you were recording another podcast this weekend?
I was going to, but they've actually not been in touch, so I don't know. I think I'm actually have a fairly free weekend, which is nice. But by the time this podcast comes out, I may have done another Moon... I will have done another Moon Knight-ish episode, so Into the Night Moon Knight podcast. I'm doing the new issues, so...
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter at DCAU Podcast. You can email us at DCAPodcast@yahoo.com. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with The Killing Joke.
Excellent.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU Podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email into us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.